Welcome to Club King Snakes Podcast. I'm Jeff Berenger, and today we're talking with rock legend Alice Cooper. Alice, thanks for joining me.
No problem at all.
Alice, you've influenced thousands of musicians over the years. Were you aware that your influence extended to the thousands of snake lovers and reptile lovers around the world?
I think that when you tap into something like that, you know, I mean, I'll be very honest with you. The very first time I used a snake was in Florida, about 1971 or 72, something like that. And some girl had about a 2-foot boa backstage. And I was like everybody else. I walked by it and I jumped because we're all programmed to jump when we see a snake. You know, being from Detroit, we didn't see a lot of snakes. Then I realized if that was my reaction, well, what would it be if Alice took out about a 12-foot snake? You know, or at least a 6-7-foot snake. So I had to just kind of get used to the fact that I was going to put this thing around my neck. And at this point now, I mean, I just pick them up. You know, I've been using them for so long. I'll walk in, and I totally understand, you know, the whole thing about boas and pythons. Mm-hmm. You know, so now it's second nature to me.
Have you had any interesting mishaps or stories with the snakes on the road?
Probably the greatest story of all. There was two or three great stories, but the one that was the most memorable was we're playing at the House of Blues in Los Angeles. And the guys and some of the guys in Kiss are there, and some of the guys in Sex Pistols are there. Johnny Lydon is there from Sex Pistols, you know, Johnny Rotten.
Mm-hmm.
And I get on stage, and when I bring the snake up, the normal reaction is a little bit of appalling, a little bit of shock, a little bit of ooh. All of a sudden, everybody in the audience is laughing, and just laughing their heads off. And all of a sudden, I look down, and this snake had defecated all over me, all over the stage. And it was a big snake.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like piles, as if you would have had a Doberman Pinscher up there, or a Great Dane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the foulest smelling on the planet. Now they thought, the audience thought, that I did this on purpose. They figured, you know, that, oh, well, Alice does that every night. You know, it was definitely an accident. I've never, ever had a snake do that on stage in 30 years. But Johnny Rotten thought, oh, that's great, man. Do you do that every night? And I went, yeah, sure, we do that every night.
Where do you guys get the snakes that you use on the road?
It depends. We have two or three friends, you know, friends in America, friends in Canada, friends in Europe. There's people that we go to all the time, and we make those connections. We, you know, I think over the years, you know who you can trust. I'll call up people and say, look, I need an 8 or 10-foot albino python, and or I might need, or we're going to Canada for 2 days and then back, and we can't take the snake over the border. We'll call our Canadian snake guy there, our Europe snake guy. You never try to cross borders with snakes.
Right.
Because there's always the whole, you know, the whole quarantine and the whole thing.
Speaking of crossing borders, where are you guys off to now? I know you're touring right now.
We start in Brussels and then we're in Ireland. Then we're going up to Norway and through Germany and England. Actually, if things work out, We'll be opening for the Stones in Norway.
When you started all this back in 68, did you have any clue that you'd still be taking up the snakes in 2006?
I don't think any band looks past the next week. You know, I mean, the band fatality rate is so high. At that time, I mean, you know, you thought maybe you're going to be in a band until you got in college, and then maybe after college it would be over, and then after college, here we go, we're in Los Angeles opening for the Mothers of Invention and the Doors. And then you say, well, that'll be over soon. And pretty soon, 40 years later, you're one of the top acts in the world.
And a survivor of some of the bands that you mentioned.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, me, it was always a matter of professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just said, if you're going to be in a band, be professional. Never be late. You know, do your show every night like it's your last show.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll survive.
I understand you just were honored up in North Dakota. What happened up there?
Alice, North Dakota. I own it. Buy it?
Yeah.
Gee, $100.
I don't know. I saw the pictures. It looked kind of small.
Yeah, 40 people. But it ended up being 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And all of them were drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was quite a party.
What can you tell me about your syndicated radio show and One Red Paperclip?
Well, the radio show is, I have over 100 cities. I go to London, I go to Australia, I go all over the world, really, on the internet. But I have 100 stations that I'm syndicated on.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 hours a night, whatever I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
I get to play all the songs that you don't hear on other stations, and that makes it fun for me. The paperclip guy, Kyle, is a guy that started with a paperclip and said, I can keep trading up until I get a house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just traded a day with Alice Cooper. That he traded, I think, a year's rent in Phoenix for a day with Alice Cooper. And then he's going to trade that, I think, for a fire engine.
A fire engine.
And then he's going to just keep trading up till he gets to the house. So we're kind of tracking this guy. We think it's a bizarre idea, and I think anything that's bizarre deserves to be on my radio show.
Well, I have to agree with you. You definitely started out with the corner on bizarre. I remember back in 73 when you were running for president. I was 10 years old and saw you on TV, and man, that was it for me.
So funny that people actually think I ran for president. I am maybe the most unpolitical person you're ever going to meet. When I put elected out, it was definitely a satire on. In fact, the whole idea came from when I was a little kid. When I was about 5 or 6, there was Elvis Presley for president. And everybody knew it was a joke. But people were wearing buttons and everything, and I said, well, I'm just going to turn that around, Alice Cooper for president. And when I realized it, when everybody realized I was running against Nixon, you know, even on a joke level, I think I got a lot of write-in votes.
You got a lot of write-in votes, but you got an awful lot of press. And let me tell you, to a 10-year-old kid, seeing you on stage, on TV, doing the whole guillotine number, and then seeing that snake, I just said, rock and roll and snakes are cool.
Absolutely.
And that was it for me.
I saw, Britney Spears, in our show, we do a thing where we have a thing at our show at the end of the show where Britney Spears gets her head cut off, you know. And then I see Britney Spears on stage with a white albino python stealing my snake thing. Now, granted, Britney Spears looks better with a snake than me. I mean, if you look at two posters and you think that I look better than her with a snake, then there's something wrong with you. But at that point, I started saying, okay, if she can steal my snake, then I could cut her head off on stage.
There you go. Well, Alice, listen, I know that you got a tight schedule. I know you're headed to the airport. I wanted to thank you for taking time out of your schedule and talking with us today.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to tell everybody that Alice is here, courtesy of Amazon Reptile Center, who hooked us up with him. This is Jeff Berenger with Club Kingsnake at club.kingsnake.com. Everybody have a great day.